Blog Talk Radio.
This is Walter Davis, and I'm with the San Diego County Community Coalition, and we're having a show this evening about banished veterans, and I see that I have a caller from the 714 area code. Please identify yourself.
My name is Manuel Valenzuela. I'm the Marine of Brothers Valenzuela.
Hi, Manuel. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well. So I'm trying to get you guys some, publicity in terms of what's going on with you. Is Bertha going to be joining us as well?
But she called me up to call up over here. She said she had some things to do, but I'm here to talk to the people.
Okay, great. And I see that we have some people in our chat room. So there are already some people that I assume are listening to us right now. So basically what I understand with the situation is that U.S. military members are being induced to join the military to believe that they'll get citizenship after their services, and then they're being deported to other countries, back to Mexico, back to England, back to Trinidad, Africa, Jamaica. Is that true?
Canada, too, and it's true.
Canada as well. Okay. So the recruiters are basically telling people that they could get their citizenship, and some of these people are coming back with injuries. They have post-traumatic stress disorder, and as a result of being deported, they cannot take advantage of veterans' benefits. Is that also one of the situations?
Yes, it is. But, my brother and I, we're Vietnam veterans, and at that time, there was a draft, and if we didn't volunteer, we'll be drafted into the military. Now, that draft is not like saying, we'll give you a citizenship. In other words, if you don't join the military, you're put in jail, okay? So the most important thing is, when I joined, they said I'm American property. I'm a government American property. I am Marine Corps from here on. And guess what? 40 years later, Homeland Security trying to deport us.
Wow. Okay.
It's not like this day and time. People say, well, they promise you citizenship, what they do. And one thing about it, that time in Vietnam era was the draft. Now, I have my Social Security, my Selective Service Number, and I was due for being drafted. Instead of being drafted, we joined the military. I joined the Marine Corps. My brother joined the Army before me. He was in 1968 in Vietnam. And he got awarded the Bronze Star in Vietnam. And I was there in 1971, 72.
Okay, so this is happening for Vietnam veterans. It's happening for veterans of the Persian Gulf War, Afghanistan, and Iraq as well. Is that true?
Oh, that is true. They're deporting people. They don't care. The Homeland Security is really coming down and taking people out of this country, and they should be ashamed of what they're doing, because we're veterans. And, you know, all these veterans that have been deported, banished veterans, if the government needs help right now, they would jump to and fight for America again. And they're deported, and their families here in the United States. That's the most disgusting thing to ever feel, understand. I'm going through it with my family, my sons, my grandsons. It's an ugly world, but this Homeland Security supposed to be built 15 years ago for the terrorists. that department is just tearing up the country, really, coming down to it.
Okay, and so this is really ridiculous when you consider that some of these veterans have war injuries, and thus, if they are deported, they cannot go to a VA hospital to get assistance.
Right, you will lose all your benefits. Like if I'm deported, I will lose every benefit. I will lose Social Security. I will lose I will lose everything. The only thing that I would have is when I die in Mexico, if I get deported, my family, my sons, my grandsons, my family can go get my body, put it in a coffin, put an American flag, and bring me back to the United States. And that's the only way that we can get, and that's the only benefit that we have left. Ain't that the most disgusting thing in the world?
Well, it is ridiculous. It seems to me that if someone goes overseas and fights for this country, they should be put on a fast track towards citizenship. They should be given almost automatic citizenship. I mean, how much more do you have to put in order to prove that you should be an American citizen? I'm not understanding this picture.
Well, let me tell you one thing about it. When I first day we joined in the military, the first thing is somebody's calling me, but I can put it in three ways. Hold on a second, okay? You will be all right?
Sure, go ahead. And so what I need to say to everyone is that I'm a veteran and that I have been in the military where I served 25 years. I retired in 2001. And this is simply a disgrace that American fighting men and women are being deported after their service. They're being promised that they are going to receive benefits. Some of them are disabled, not to mention the fact that these men and women have children, and their children are being separated from their parents. It's just a national disgrace, and it is one that many of the American people are simply not aware of. So we're trying to bring these kind of things out to the American people to make you informed in terms of what's going on with incidents like this. We're focused on human rights, social justice, and the environment with the Community Coalition. And thus, one of the more interesting things that I've learned is that some of the veterans that are being deported to countries like Pakistan and Iraq, for example. And some of the people, the local people in those areas, become very hostile to them once they learn that they have been American fighting men or women. And so they are trying to kill them when they get deported. So this is a disgrace where they are fighting people in, from their own countries, basically because they believe in America. And then the American government turns their back on them and throws them back to the country, back into the situation where their enemies can kill them and or their families. So this is another dimension of what I'm calling this national disgrace. Are you back on the line, sir?
Yes. And, you know, the most important thing is, as a veteran, you are, you know, when the first day we went into service, I lifted my hand. And I give the oath and pledge allegiance to the United States. And let me tell you something. When I did that, that means forever protect the United States from, you know, from enemies from within and enemies from out of the country. But the idea, we are nationalized citizens at that second. Now, to people ask us, how come you didn't apply for citizenship? Let me tell you, when we lifted our hand, we are United States government military, and we are citizens because we put our lives on the line more than any citizen put their hands up right now. Us military people went and picked up a rifle and fought for this country, and there shall be no question asked if it's a citizen, if he's a citizen or not. He's automatic right there because he could have got killed. I could have got killed. When I was overseas, my brother could have. We gave our lives. And it should be known and it should be respected. And this government has been saying we honor our veterans, we support our troops, yes. But behind closed doors, letting Homeland Security deport veterans. It's the most disgusting and dishonorable and disgrace that a military veteran can walk through. And this, I'm a veteran, and I go through that every day now since 2009. I can't even sleep. My life is turning to hell for these people that we don't even know. And I haven't met them. And the two officers, it's like our lives is like taken apart and thrown away. How can this government do that to us?
Well, let's go back now. We have to understand the history of this government with this whole thing. I mean, so this shouldn't surprise anyone. I mean, if we talk about Mexico in particular, let's discuss the Californios. And so the Californios, as you may know, were the Mexican citizens that were living in California at the time that General Pio Pico, or correction, Governor Pio Pico, turned California over to the United States government. At that time, the treaty stated that the Mexican Californios that were living in California were going to be allowed to maintain their rancheros and keep their property. However, the American government reneged on that treaty, and they deported the Californios, the Mexican citizens that were living in populating California and old California, and they formed the city of Tijuana. This is how Tijuana was formed. So there is a long history of not living up to this country's standard and its word. So this is nothing new, correct?
Right. And okay. What's so bad about it is that the people are affected. It's not just the veterans. You know, if you take a veteran, they got families. You know, and all the families, you know, I got three sons and a daughter, and I got three grandsons and a granddaughter. They all get affected. And deporting people from this country that are working hard to do something to build this country, what really strikes me now, what I see the most, is all these politicians. They say that they're making all, they're going to give all these jobs, and guess what? Us, the immigrants, have come from all over the world to work hard in America, to make America dream, and that's the dream that everybody has always felt. You know, the freedom that we have built, us veterans have fought for. All over all these generations, we have fought every war to preserve the beautiful thing that we have in America, and it should be a gift to enjoy and to do. And now, it's the most ugliest thing that I ever seen. My brother and I went to San Diego, went to the border this last month, and we went at. And marches and the border. After that, we drove all night long. That was Saturday, and Sunday morning we were in El Paso and Juarez, and we got to see the fence that America is building, Mexico and America. This the most you ever remember the wall. America always wanted it to be torn down, and it was torn down. Well, they brought it and built it right. And it's you know, we're neighbors. Mexico is a terrorist. Mexico, the United States should be working with Mexico, not doing what it's doing right now, putting borders between each other.
Let's talk about one other facet of this, and that is that some of these military members that are being deported back to Mexico and other countries are being recruited by the drug cartel and other terrorist groups because they have military training.
You know what? Tell you something. All the veterans have been deported. I've talked to a lot of them over there that have the respect and faith of America, and they say no. And you know who's really doing it? The really bad thing is doing it is Homeland Security. You see that, they sold guns to the drug lords to find out where the guns went to? That's what immigration did. Homeland Security, Fast and Furious, You heard that. And they sold those guns. Who's really doing the damage here? Who's really doing the damage? The people, the veterans, are the ones are taking the fall for this department to do that, to sell guns to drug lords and to find out where they go those guns, and people are getting killed. Now, who's going to be accounted for those people that died? It's not the veterans that are doing it. It's just this department's got to be, should be a congressional investigation to get rid of what they're doing, because they shouldn't even be. It was built for terrorists. Terrorists is gone. Now they're just picking on the American people, the veterans, and all the people here saying that we're going to protect this country. Hey, look, us veterans have protected this country and still die every day for this country. Let's
back up 1 second here. I mean, because you're saying that terrorism is gone. Let's refocus on that, and let's understand a couple of things. Is that the industrial powers in this country, the military-industrial complex, they do not have an invested interest in seeing any type of peace. Every war that we've ever been in has been a false flag attack generated for imperial mobilization. None of the wars that we've ever been involved in have been real wars. And so to prove that, we can look at what happened with the Spanish-American War. The Spanish-American War started because USS Maine was blown up in Havana Harbor. Admiral Rickover in 1973 proved that USS Maine blew up because her ammunition was set on fire by the coal, and that they blamed it on Cubans, and we ended the Spanish-American War. And this led to the Vietnam War, by the way, because France took Vietnam in this exchange. The United States took the Philippines and a number of other islands. Britain took Burma, India, and some other properties in Southeast Asia. So this set the stage for the Vietnam War. World War One, Lusitania was warned by the Germans that if she got underway from New York Harbor, she would be torpedoed. And they put a full-page ad in the New York Times. Yet, Lusitania got underway with a naval escort of more than 30 vessels. The naval escorts turned around, left Lusitania by herself. She was sank by German U-boat, and we entered World War One. World War Two, the Australian Navy reported that a Japanese task force was headed to Pearl Harbor. The United States Navy got the aircraft carriers on the way, leaving the battleships in Pearl Harbor. The Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, killing more than 2,700 American soldiers and sailors. We entered World War II. Vietnam, in the Gulf of Tonkin, USS Fletcher was reported to be under attack by surface vessels. The commanding officers of those of that task force has now reported that they were not under attack, yet that was used as an excuse for us to enter the Vietnam War. Now, we have 9/11, the excuse to attack Iraq, even though the majority of the so-called terrorists were from Saudi Arabia. And the fact that Osama bin Laden, his family built the U.S. airstrips for the U.S. military overseas. They owned the concrete company, and this is how they made their fortune. So the bottom line is that all the wars we've ever been in have been false flag attacks. The 9/11 incident was not generated by terrorism. And I'll just say one thing. Tower 7, the Solomon Building, which is larger than any building in downtown San Diego, 47 stories tall, fell by itself at 5 p.m. It was not even struck by an aircraft, and it went down. Yet that was an excuse. So forever in this country, bankers and arms manufacturers have made a great deal of money from war, and they don't have any kind of incentive for us to ever have peace. And look at the treasure that we waste. Look at how much fuel our ships burn out there at sea. Look how much those weapons cost, millions and billions of dollars. Yet we have people that are homeless. We have banks that are taking away the homes of American citizens. And now one of the greatest tragedies is American veterans being deported to other countries. It is simply a national shame. Do you agree, sir?
Oh, it is. It's been like this going on for. In other words, this America, which I respect and love, the people that run it are war hungry, and it's built by wars, and this got to stop because we can't. We have to get back what we this America is supposed to be to help and to be prosperous and all that. It's destroying itself. And like it says, once you start throwing away your veterans, the ones that really fight for this country, this world of United States is going to go down. You don't do that, especially the ones that put their lives on the line and the ones that, I got friends that got killed in Vietnam. And to me, it's like, right now, I got this organization that they're doing a march over there in Washington, D.C., and I'm thinking about going over there and march with them. But they're marching for keep the wall, to support the Vietnam veterans. But they see me in the polls, my brother and I, that we're Vietnam vet, and we've been here since 1955. And we're a born American mother to top it off. This is really getting out of hand. When our mother, and there's a statue that says we're born American citizens the second we're born. And then to top it off, we lifted our hand and we went and served this country. What more can you ask from us? And this department has the right to destroy our lives. That goes to show you how far this government has gone. And it's going to have to be reconciled and checked on. It has to be investigated because no department, no person in this world is above what the Constitution, the rules, that statutes, the laws that we abide for, what we made in our day and time. It's going to have to come back. And they're destroying everything that is we built. So we got to get it back. Or else this not going to be no more America here. It's going to be something that is going to be chaos. And it's getting to that point. It's a lot of chaos right now. And I got a feeling that's why the government does it, because it's got they're deporting veterans, they're deporting immigrants, and they're taking families apart. They're getting every person, and then there's no jobs, and then the gas, and all these things are for one reason. They want the people of the United States to be confused, and they don't know what to do. Now, we've got to stand up and say no more and get united. And the more united we get, the stronger we get. This government has to stand up and say, okay, we understand. We can't do that no more. We've got to stop it before it's too late.
And I want to remind all of our guests that we have a link to the Banish Veterans website, both on Facebook and their particular website, where you can get more information. And I'm encouraging everyone to call in to have a discussion with us. We're at 310-861-2349. So if you're out there listening, please call in and deliver your comments, and this show will be archived. Now, we're talking about, you talked about the jobs. Now, a lot of people believe that immigrants are coming into this country and taking jobs away, et cetera, and they're not looking at the fact that manufacturers like Monsanto, Sara Lee, Philip Morris, they've gone down into Mexico, and they have, for example, in Mexico, made the price of coffee fall down to 5 cents per kilo. And so they persuaded the Mexican government with NAFTA and CAFTA to drop the subsidies that they were paying to Mexican farmers. Yet American farmers do get subsidies, and this made corn very inexpensive. It put the Mexican farmers out of business. And so this is why we had a large influx of people coming to America in the 1980s, because American corporations have destroyed the economy in Mexico, Central America, and other countries just as well, especially with the coffee trade in Africa. So a lot of people are immigrating to this country because American corporations have destroyed their opportunities. So it's not like people were just itching to come here. It has to do with the fact that they were looking for better economic opportunity. And if you go to our YouTube channel, you can see the interviews that I have recently completed with the Fair Trade Organization. And our YouTube channel is El Video Liberal. That's our YouTube channel. And you can go to WalterDavisEnterprises.com, and there you can see some of the interviews that we've completed regarding immigration issues. And there is a healthy slave trade, which exists as well. And the Bilateral Safety Corridor Coalition is heavily involved with the slave trade, in which we have people coming from all over the world being victimized. And so now we see American citizens also being victimized. And I think that this has been going on for a long time. People just are not aware of it. Have we ever had a discussion about Mexicans in the Civil War? We don't hear those kind of discussions. Yet there were Mexicans fighting in the Civil War. Were they not, sir?
Oh, yeah. Even then, you heard of, I'm not going that far, but in Civil War, those Mexicans, and even in this country, like I said, has been built by immigrants from all over the world, from every branch, Africa, Mexico, you name it, Canada, with all the people from that came to this country, fought every war. And there's no mistake that the only true citizens that are here are the Indians. And look at how they have been treated. Look at how they got reservations and treated. And it's disgusting what America has done to those people. And right now, what my brother and I are going through, and we're born American citizens due to my mother's blood right, that she was born in the United States. That goes to show you how far they have gone, that they don't care who it is. They're going to try and throw them away. But we're going to fight this, and we're going to show this country, you know, it ain't going to hurt to fight back. What is going to hurt is people don't stand up and people turn their face away and walk away. But later on in the future, and it's coming real quick, that they're going to be affected, and they're going to say, I should have stood up when it was there, when it was that time. We have to stand up now, because we cannot allow a department of this government to do it. And even I have this lady told me about, which is true, that even Homeland Security is above the government. They can do anything above the United States president. And what we had a CNN interview, national media last week, and we put wrote a paragraph to the President of the United States, and he said commander-in-chief of the military, and to let this happen to veterans, to be deported from this country, our commander-in-chief, and he's the highest president of the United States, commander-in-chief of the military, and allowing this to happen, this is real bad, when he doesn't have no word to say, and he's going to have to stand up. And this new president that's going to be elected this November, he better stand up, because us veterans are going to find every organization and tell them what's really happening. And he's going to have to stand up with military veterans. And that alone, every veteran has a family. And every family, every son, every kid is going to stand up with their veteran father, because that's the way it is. And the government's going to have to wake up. Can't be doing that.
How are these deportations affecting children of these veterans?
Well, look at me. I had a Taekwondo school in 2009. I had my two grandsons and my granddaughter teaching them Taekwondo. I had to stop all this to fight this Homeland Security. That, and they look at me since 2009. They go, Grandpa Woods. They feel, I can see it in their eyes. They hurt. You right now, they don't know what's going to happen. They've been to the courts, and I can see how hurt they are. And this is not right. You know, I fought for this country. for my grandkids, my family, my sons to have a freedom and to enjoy America. And now I see that their life is being destroyed by this government that is allowing Homeland to do that to them. And it hurts me and hurts them real bad to where it's, you know, it's indescribable. If I would say the words from deep inside, I would get in trouble. You know, as a Marine, this is not right. You know, and my brother, I see it, my oldest brother and his daughter, and they're scared or worried that he'd be deported. What are they going to do? They need him here. And I can imagine, like Hector Barajas got his daughter, Fabian, he's deported, he's got a son. We talked to his son last time. We were in San Diego, he said he looks at 5 o'clock. He's worried that his father will not make it home, you know, and that's a shame that to live in the United States to have that, and every day he worried that they're gonna pick him up and throw him away again. Just the most disgusting thing that I ever could see in my life. America's not what it used to be. It was beautiful. And these politicians, that they say that they're making this more beautiful, secure community, they're destroying everything. I have met every politician in Colorado, and I can give you every word of them, every name of them, and they have not said not one word about us brothers Valenzuela. And it's going to come to a point. We are going to get to that point. They are going to have to come to the media and say, you know what, they're right. Because they got families. And if they lose a kid from being from one of those drug lords coming and doing this, because America's supplying them, giving them money and giving them guns and giving them all that, they're going to have to stop that. And they blame it on us? No, sir. It's this government that has to wake up.
Well, we also have to understand that a lot of the jobs that are gone away because of automation. It is not because immigrants are coming into the country taking people's jobs away. Do you remember when there used to be a man
no
in the elevator?
No immigrant takes jobs away. Never. They come in to help to build this America.
But
government is the one that's destroying the jobs.
The jobs that have gone away primarily have gone away because of automation. If you watch those shows like How It's Made, History Channel, you see that robots are making our cars, they're pickling our pickles, they're making our pizza dough. There used to be a man in the elevator. Now you push a button on a robot and the elevator takes you up to the floor. There used to be people answering the phone. Now a robot says, for customer service, press 1. For sales, press 2, et cetera, et cetera. The issue is that with this technology, do you remember a long time ago people used to be in the gas stations, right, to gas into your car? Now you stick a card into a robot, and then the robot dispenses your gasoline for you. So these people
guess
that are
what?
Saying
we're,
that
we're paying that much money for those robots more than those people were checking our oil and everything. Right now the cost of we're paying for the technology. All of us are paying for that. At that time, they had beautiful jobs. They took care of our cars and everything. Now we're paying technology the gas. They don't even, nobody checks our car unless it's broke down. And this technology is getting out of hand. They're sending it to China. Everything that you buy from the vehicles, my friend are breaking the handles off my van. Now, look at it, made in China. What America's doing, not us. You know what? That's what government's taking the job from all of us is by sending it to other countries. And that's where all the jobs, all the money's going to. And the immigrants that come over here to try to make their living and survive, they're being kicked out of here.
Let's go back and revisit it. You know, we have corporations that now have the same power as people. We have corporations that can vote. They can vote with their dollars. And so the Supreme Court and a number of other government agencies have given corporations the same power as individuals, which is wrong. And so as a result of that, these corporations are sending jobs overseas and destroying things. The bankers, they received trillions of dollars from the American people in terms of the bank bailout, and then they refused to loan money to the American people to get their homes saved. And so the banks are taking people's houses away. We now have more empty homes in this country than we have homeless people. And so none of this makes any sense. And so we all have to become involved in fighting against injustice, just as we see these veterans being deported. This is just one of the latest things that I have become aware of, and I couldn't wait to get this out on the air. This is why I called you guys with such short notice to get you on the air.
Yeah, I know, and I'm appreciated, and I'm honored to be in your radio, and the most important is to let the people aware that their veterans are being thrown out of this country, deported, and this is not right, you know, for us to be in the jungle and then face this. I mean, I'm going to be 60 years old this year, and this Homeland Security, 15 years ago was built and established. They got more than any president or anybody doing this, and it's going to have to be, they're going to have a congressional investigation on this, because it shouldn't be that way. We don't need somebody to protect us. We can protect ourselves. We are veterans, and this United States built by people like us to fight for the rights, and instead, they're sending us to go fight in other countries, and they blame it on the terrorists over there. We're getting ourselves involved with something that we shouldn't, just like Vietnam. All it is, the United States is getting involved because of oil, and look at the price of oil has jumped way sky high. In other words, they're not kidding us. They're just making their money. That money goes around to the government, and just discussing what they said. We're going over to human rights. Yeah, right. It's oil. I mean, the United States should quit that. You know, they forgot what human decency is. They're just building themselves to where we got to be more powerful than anything, and it's killing all the people. It's killing all the jobs. That oil is killing us right now. And what's the government doing? It's sending all these troops and airplanes to Iraq, Afghanistan. And it costs billions and billions of dollars. We shouldn't be fighting those wars. We should be taking care of America.
But we're spending more than $4 billion a week. And so how many jobs would that provide?
That's not human being life. One life is die out there for this. I mean, that's worse. You know, the money that they take, that's all they're doing is money. They're using it. But when you're talking about a human life, that's priceless. You can't do this to the people of the United States.
When we look at all of that, and we look at the fact that some of these corporations are paying these executives $5 million bonuses every quarter, if a person is making $5 million, if a person makes $5 million in 1 year, they're being paid more than $13,000 per day. Have you ever thought about that? And just how many people could have medical treatment? It is not necessary for any person to have $13,000 per day, while the average person on this planet only makes $2 per day to live on. That is a simply ridiculous proposition, and we cannot continue to see these injustices prevail. We have to become educated. I'm encouraging everyone to take the link to this radio broadcast, put it up on your Facebook. Put it up on your Facebook group. Email it to your constituents and your family and friends. Get people involved in these issues, because if you allow one group of people you suffer injustice, eventually they're going to come and get you too. That's what happened to the Jewish people in Nazi Germany. Am I not correct?
That's right. And it's happening right now. You know, you see all these people even, you saw that when they had the riot in India, you know, I saw in the news in India that the national media in India was saying everything's okay to the people, but yet United States government, the United States national media was over there showing all this killings and all that. You know, it's going, it's same thing in those countries is happening here in the United States. But, you know, we finally got to national media last week. We've been on this ordeal 3 years. I've been in almost 5 years. 5 years, or six, since 2005. You know, I got stopped, and Homeland Security took my identity away, and I can prove all this. And they say my Social Security, my name was not the same. All this bull, and I had everything to prove, all the paperwork. And I am going to take them to court, and I am going to fight this, because if they can do that to me, I can imagine what they're doing to other people, deporting them like Hector Barajas and Fabian and Combs to Kenya. God knows more veterans that I can even count. And it's disgusting. This got to be stopped. This
okay.
Government so has got to do it.
One of the things is that there is a long waiting list to get citizenship. I mean, it's very difficult, and it costs a lot of money. So it's not like it's easy to get your citizenship. I mean, even if you have the money and everything else, some people have been waiting for more than 10 years to get their citizenship after thousands of dollars in fees, et cetera. So it's not like this is an easy process for someone to go through. Am I not correct?
I met guys that told me that, and they showed me their paperwork, that paid up to $10,000 to get a citizenship. This government, this immigration reform thing has gone chaos. They just, it's a money-making machine. They've got those detention centers in Denver, Colorado, over here. We've gone on and put rallies right in front of them and say this is, and you know who runs those detention centers? It's a GO from out of this country. They making the money. What is this United States doing? And they put people in detention to be deported out of this country, and it costs $10,000 for them to get them out of there, and then if they got to go through more paperwork until they finally get citizenship. And this government, this organization makes the money off the United States, off the people here, and it goes, that money goes out of this country. Something's wrong with this picture. I mean, if this United States has to be investigated, all this, like you say, all these corporations and doing all millions and billions of dollars, and yet they're blaming, they're making the people of the United States blame immigrants for the what the America is happening. All the people got to wake up. The ones that are really destroying this is the corporations, the government, and but once they got to this point of throwing away veterans, they got something coming, because veterans do not just go lay and die. We fight for the rest of our lives.
Let's go back and revisit this now, because the United States has been doing these kind of things to veterans for a long time. My grandfather fought in Italy at Monte Cassino against the Italians and the Germans there. And they left my grandfather and his battalion out there at Monte Cassino with no ammunition, and they didn't provide them with replacements because they wanted the black soldiers to die. And they won the Battle of Monte Cassino, and they brought back prisoners. Now, the prisoners were allowed to go into the front door of the base exchange, but people of color were not allowed. These people that actually captured prisoners were not allowed to go into the front door of the base exchange. And when the Tuskegee Airmen returned from World War II, for example, they were told that black people had to go to the right and white people were allowed to go to the left. So we have a long legacy of military members being mistreated in this country, and it goes back a long time. There is a movie that everyone should watch that is called Beyond Treason, and it talks about how chemical experiments have been conducted on American service members and how American service members are being exposed to radiation throughout the Middle East. The Middle East, they have used tactical nuclear weapons in the Middle East, and American people don't know that. So the American soldiers, this is why they don't want to start the draft. They want to keep circulating the people that have served in Iraq and Afghanistan over and over again because they have radiation in their bodies. So there are many things.
We got Agent Orange.
Agent Orange in Vietnam, exactly.
Every war, there's certain kind of chemicals that the government uses, but yet it's okay for them. But if another country uses that on us, they go ballistic. But secretly, we all get infected with all kinds of things.
Right, and they want to try people for war crimes, et cetera, when other countries are involved in using those types of chemicals. And yet I don't see anyone being tried for war crimes from the Bush administration, for example.
Oh, God, it's been a nightmare. I mean, in 1996, there was this Vietnam veteran that got deported to Canada, and he got out of the Vietnam. And that time when we used to get out, there was no help for us veterans. There was no PTSD, no nothing. You know, when we got out, they got us in the room. They say, take your uniform off, put your street clothes on, and run like hell. That was our welcome home from fighting in Vietnam. And we had all kinds of shit thrown at us. Now, this guy that got him, I could say he was involved with drugs, and that was the only medication that was at that time. And so he spent a year in prison, and was the day right before he getting out, at midnight, ICE went and picked him up, 1996, picked him up, drove him to the airport, no court procedures, nothing. They put him on the airplane, and they say, you're out of here to Canada, and you step into the United States, you're facing 18 years of prison, straight prison. No ifs and buts. And that person took off, and they took him to Canada, and since then, he thought he was the only one that ever happened to him, and he lived in a shell. Until 3 years ago, this friend told me that she met him, and she's the one that told me about his story, and you know what? She told me he fell down on the ground, almost had a heart attack, and crying and saying, I thought I was the only one in the whole world that this happened. He felt so disgraced from the government and so dishonored that he went into a shell. And then he cried and he said, man, I thought I was the only one. And he has 7 kids right now, and one of them is a sergeant. Green Berets, he haven't seen since then. That's the most ugliest thing that a person can go through and hear. You know, I have stories of all these people that have been deported, and it hurts to walk in these shoes right now. I mean, if people would understand, a lot of people tell us, well, you know, you should have gotten your citizenship. I said, man, in other words, I should have just should have gotten killed in Vietnam. Then I would have been a citizen, huh? It's not right. It's not right. We were good to work, fight for, and die for, but not to live here. Just got to change. Every person in the United States got to realize, if they don't stand up with the veterans right now, wait when it really happens to them. They ain't gonna be no braves in this America like you say, it's the land of the brave. Ain't gonna be no braves around here to protect and help America no more.
Well, let's go back and you know, look at some more reality, and that is that our government has shown over and over that it doesn't care about justice. Look at our family court system. Look at our justice system, where we have one quarter of all African American males locked up in prison. A disproportionate number of Latinos and African American men are in prison. And now one of the fastest growing groups of people being imprisoned are women. And it simply doesn't make any sense that someone is put away in prison for the rest of their lives because they had a plant. And so these plants, like marijuana, are less harmful than tobacco. Every time you walk by somebody when you're outside and you pass by someone in a department store on the sidewalk and they've been smoking cigarettes and you can smell that, you're inhaling carcinogens. And thus people are getting lung cancer even though they never smoked a day in their lives. And so these alcohol is a very dangerous substance, and alcohol kills more than 100,000 Americans every year. Tobacco kills more than 400,000 American citizens every year. And so the fact that we are arresting people and putting them in prison for the rest of their lives and for extended periods of time simply doesn't make sense. So if we have a government that does that, then doesn't it also make sense that we have a government that will deport its warriors?
Yeah, I like tomorrow. I got so many rallies and invited to a lot of things to go do it. You know, our world has changed a lot since going through this ordeal. And one thing that it strikes me, just like you say, you know, it only happens to the Latinos, the minority people. They're being treated like that. Even then, have you ever heard of Felix Longoria affair? He was a World War II veteran that got killed in the Philippines. And when he got killed, they sent his body to Three Rivers, Texas. And the community did not allow his body to be buried there. You ever heard of that documentary?
I have not heard of that.
And then that's when the American GI form was formed, and it was Dr. And that was in 1948 when this Dr. Hector Garcia started a civil rights march and to help the Longoria affair, the Longoria family, or his wife and the kids, they would not allow his body to be buried there because he was a Mexican, but got killed in the Philippines, World War II. And well, Dr. Hector Garcia helped the families. Not even Lyman Bing Johnson was a senator that time. And that's how he got more, when he got to be president of the United States, by the Latino jumping in, because he did help organize and help family. And they took his body and buried him in Arlington Cemetery with honors. But the family and the wife said, you know, but he's going to be over there. How can I go visit him? But this story, you know, we got to meet the one, John Valadez, that made the documentary of it, and he is planning to do a documentary about us and the banished veterans. Us two brothers, the brothers Valenzuela and the banished veterans, coming up pretty soon. A documentary about our lives, how it's affecting us and our families. If my mom and dad would be alive right now, my mom would be so mad. I mean, you know what I'm saying is, even that day when I got the removal notice, January 29th, my mother died that day too. And I saw her at the hospital. During the daytime, I went to Denver court, and then I came back and she passed away, and I saw her at the hospital. January 29th, 2009. You know, can you imagine what goes through my mind and my thinking about that? The rest of my life, I'm going to be thinking that, it's ugly. I mean, to this government do that to us, it's not right.
And
people say, you know,
what state are you in now? What state are you in now?
Colorado.
Okay.
And like I'm saying, Colorado's Denver is getting to be very popular because we've been going to court there, and it's going to be known as the state in the capital that deports veterans, especially Vietnam veterans. My brother went to court last the 16th of February, and you know it was Thursday. He went to court, and Homeland Security didn't even show up. Nothing. And I said, you know what? This is the most profound thing, because if my brother wouldn't have showed up, he would have been deported or put in jail. But they can do whatever they want. He said, we're not going to show up because we have media with us to show how ugly that this ordeal has been going through. And he got the Bronze Star in Vietnam, and he's got a book and a story of how he got that Bronze Star. And he bring it out right now, boy, people would just be stunned. And he's looking for to get it published, but he wrote a story of this, how he got his Bronze Star. And, you know, he had written this book way before all this happened. And the name of the book is The Enemy Within, a Spiderweb of Discreet and Dishonor. And it involves what way back when it happened in Vietnam. And now it really is happening to us. This is ugly, what America has been doing to us, and not just us, the veterans, banished veterans. I feel for them because, you know, their kids, their families, their wives, how they hurt. And I got to meet them this last February, and it's no words that I can describe. If a person was there, man, it's ugly. I felt like just falling apart because hurt to see them hurt. And America says it honors their veterans, and yet throwing them away from back closed door and nobody knows about it. This is the most disgusting thing that I've ever in my life, and it's going to have to be answered. And that's why we've been marching, my brother and I, and we've been sending petitions. And you know what the government does? All they get the petitions, they just throw a wastebasket. Well, that's why we're marching. And every time we have the opportunity, people invite us, and Vietnam Veterans Parade, we've been in memorial parades, you name it. And we're going to keep on marching until this is resolved. And that ain't it. They're going to help. Those veterans have been deported, banished from this country. They're going to need the help, the support from the people of the United States to stand up and support them in counseling and the families. They need support and help. This is not right. America's not doing. It's closing their eyes. It's going to have to do something about this before it's too late. And I guarantee.
I want to remind everyone that's listening to this that you can click on the website banishedveterans.info. There is a link which is built into the radio broadcast. If you want to learn more about this, see pictures, and become involved. Also, the link to their Facebook group is contained within this description of this radio broadcast, and we're planning to do more of these broadcasts in the near future, where we're going to have more guests coming aboard and talking about what's happening to them in terms of being U.S. military veterans that are being deported.
And then we have a website, too, tell our story to it, and I got information on the banished veterans, too. So it's www.valenzuelabrothers.com. And it's linked into our Facebook, too. So get into it, too, that way, too. So we share each other and help each other on the banished veterans. Because,
okay,
you know, we're a band of brothers, and we don't leave no soldier behind.
So
and
we have
banishedbrothers.info.
What that means. BanishedVeterans.info, and I understand that your website is BrothersValenzuela.com. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you've got a link there to our Facebook and everything too there too, and it's got our story, our media rooms where we've been through all over, so people can get in touch with us there too. And our Facebook's got our phone numbers, and we just opened up a new nonprofit organization too. It's Brothers Valenzuela. It's a new nonprofit organization that we're going to try and get it together so we can help some of the Spanish veterans and get some donations so we can get them back from being deported. And not just that, it's help the families. And families are living in the United States, and like Hector, the highest pay that he gets a day is $18 to $20 a day. How can you send money to help your family that live in the United States? That you can't. And that's you know, it's ugly what they're going through. And we don't want that happen no more. We gotta get them all back. And this government should be liable for what has happened, done to them, and take care of them. And this organizations that are making all this money is going to have to be questioned too, because they're the ones that are pushing all these things, and this government, you know, if you put like 3,000 veterans that have been deported from this country, can you imagine how much money that they owe these veterans and benefits? That's billions and billions for the rest of their lives. Like my brother just barely started getting benefits. I haven't got none. I just applied for it and not get a removal notice. Kind of funny, isn't it? That he just got his first check last 2008, and in 2009 he gets a removal notice. It's very, you know, coincidence. And then the Homeland Security says they didn't know about this, that we're veterans. Yes. In 2009, we put in November 10th of 2009, in Veterans Day right here, and we put on the news. And about a week later, Homeland Security called me up. The two officers said, "Mr. Valenzuela, we saw you two on the news." I said, "Who's this?" I said, "Because it's got a restricted number." And it was, "This is Robert C. Lindley and Jeffrey Hamilton, the two officers that put your removal notice, you and your brother, from this country." And I said, "Whoa, wow! So you, what do you want?" He goes, "Well, we saw you in the news. Now, Mr. Valenzuela, we didn't know that both of you guys were brothers, and both of you served in the military." I say, "You mean to tell me that you didn't know that my brother served in 1968 and got a Bronze Star in Vietnam, and I served in 71, 72? You mean to tell me you're Homeland Security, and you don't know at all, and you want to deport us out of this country? What kind of Homeland Security do we got here?" I told them that, because that's not right. They didn't even know us. They're just profiling us because we have Valenzuela, last name.
Oh, and I want to bring to your attention that the flyer that I got here in San Diego County has BrothersValenzuela.com, and you're actually ValenzuelaBrothers.com.
There you go. We're ValenzuelaBrothers.com.
Right, and it's wrong on the flyer, so I didn't want to make sure everybody knew that.
Right. If somebody put it in the flyer, it's ValenzuelaBrothers.com. That's our website.
Right, okay. And then you have, actually, when you put that in, the Facebook website comes up in the search engine, so that's kind of good if people do put the wrong thing in, so at least they can connect to your Facebook. And then we need people to go to BanishedVeterans.info. To become more educated about this topic. And, of course, you can come back to my radio station webpage here, and I encourage you to spread the word and to copy the web address for my internet radio broadcast here and post it on Facebook and forward it to your constituents, because this is one of the fights that we have to take on board as a responsibility. We all have a responsibility to stand up against injustice in our country. And I certainly want to be a proponent in ensuring that other people are educated about this particular matter. And there are many other battles we have to fight. We have Child Protective Services that is out of control. We have our family court system that's out of control. Our military-industrial complex that is raiding the coffers of this country, of the American citizens, where we don't even have medical coverage for all American citizens. And even beyond this, the tragedy is that American veterans are not receiving their benefits as a result of fighting in wars for this country and being deported on top of that. It is simply an unfathomable situation that I find incredible to even hear about.
You know, what really strikes me is, okay, if you're a senator, right? How long is your term to be a senator?
Well, they last at least 4 years, right? 3 to 4 years?
Right. Yeah, and then the rest of their lives, they get a benefits. They get a paid money. Like, for instance, even a senator, once he's finished his term, he gets a paycheck for the rest of his life, like a retirement thing. Not veterans. Now, we fought in Vietnam. We have to fight to get a benefit. They don't give it to us. They put us through a grinding. Years and years of trying to get help. And we still not get there. I haven't even got mine. But you're a congressman. You're a senator. You know that? You get a lump sum of money every year for the rest of your life. Ain't that something?
Well, that's ridiculous. And view of the fact that people that are elected to Congress get benefits for the rest of their lives, yet many of them haven't even fought in a war. In fact, most of them have been responsible for conducting very criminal acts against the American people. And, you know, one of the reasons that we have this going on is that there is a focus on this morality issue as opposed to ethics. I believe that ethics must be the most important factor in electing a politician as opposed to morality. A Muslim person may have different moral values than a Christian or an agnostic or a secular humanist person or a Pentecostal. People have different moral values. However, our ethical values tend to be the same. Nobody wants anyone to come and take away their car or take their children away or take away their home and things of that nature. So what happens is the slickest people are the ones that get away without being caught. We see these politicians, they say God a couple of times, and then everybody goes and votes for them. So we are approaching things from a real backwards point of view. Right now, for example, there's a big push on taking women's rights away. There is a push where abortion will be taken away. And believe me, I hate abortion. I love little babies. I don't want to see little babies get hurt. However, let's deal with the situation where we take away the need for people to get abortions. Let's deal with poverty. Let's deal with opportunities. Let's revise our prohibition laws where people are getting put in prison and then not allowed to get jobs. How can we put people in prison and then punish them for the rest of their lives? How can we allow veterans to serve for this country and not get benefits? How can we allow bankers that are making $13,000 per day and above to get bailouts, yet veterans are not getting their benefits? How can we allow American citizens to lose their homes to these banks and yet receive trillions of dollars of kickbacks? How can we allow farmers to be paid not to grow things on their property to get subsidies, and then yet child care and Medicare is being cut back for the elderly and for our young people? How can we allow these roads to deteriorate in our country where I have to get a wheel alignment and get my tires rotated once a month now because the roads are so bad they just destroy my wheel alignment? And so we're not taking care of our streets. We're not taking care of our schools. We're allowing these politicians to present the moral argument. And they come out and kiss a few babies. They say God and Jesus a few times. And then everybody goes and votes for them. And then they turn around, and the very people that are voting for these people based upon these principles get their issues thrown out. And they don't get attention. They don't get respect. The corporations are the ones that are lobbying. The corporations are the ones that have more power than the American people. The corporations have more power than American veterans that have put their lives on the line for this country. And these types of injustices have to come to a stop. We have to bring this to a halt. We have to get involved, and we must employ critical thinking methodologies in order for this to stop and get away from this superstition and ridiculous ways of making our decision and electing our political candidates. Do you not agree, sir?
Oh, yes. You know, and then the most important, even like I'm been putting out, is in July 2011, when my brother and I were invited to the NLR conference in Washington D.C., which we went. We got to be the president of the United States, Mr. Obama, and he helped me open our banner that says "Stop the deportation of military veterans and bring our deported veterans home." In July of 2011, he opened that banner and he looked at it, and I gave him our cards. It shows our website, our phone numbers, and I said, "Look, you have to do this, President, because you're the only one that can do it. Because all these politicians are run by corporations, and these corporations, they just in the ball game. They just don't stand for the people no more." And I said, "You're the only one that can bring this world back together, right? The America, by standing up in front of the whole United States press conference, say, I pardon every veteran that have been deported from out of this country, and I want them all back and be taken care of because they are my soldiers. You are the military commander-in-chief of the military. That is the most important thing to do." You know what? I haven't heard nothing. I haven't called. Sure, that a lot of people have told me, "Oh, you must have done him. You know, he's giving American citizenship to soldiers that will join right now." I said, "How about the veterans that have been deported? Our oath that we have, us veterans, we leave not one soldier behind. I myself, I would jump and if one of my soldiers is shot and hurt, I would jump and carry him. If I get killed doing it, by God, I did my oath and my pledge." And we have it deep within our heart and our soul, embedded for the rest of our lives. We don't leave not one soldier behind. And you think that this America says that, but we are the ones that really do it. We go and do it and bring them back. So now that's what we're fighting for. Bring them all back. Once they're back, you'll see difference in this America. But the President of the United States has to stand up. In order for the people of the United States to stand by him, he has to show the power and strength that's what he's made for and was voted for, to stand for the people, to protect the people, and to be with the people. And in turn, the people will be with him. But we're going to have to fight this before this November. With all our gift, our powers, we're going to try and get all these organizations to stand up. Because I've seen Mitt Romney, I've seen Ron Paul. I gave them all cards, and not a word from none of them. All they say is, "We got to get jobs, we got to do all these jobs." But hey, jobs and for what? To throw the veterans away? They don't say a damn thing about it. Don't they ever care about a veteran? They say they care, but they don't mention a damn word about deportation. What kind of politicians do we have this day and time? Not one of them say that we've got veterans deported.
We have the same kind that we always – we have the same kind that we always have had. Look at the way that the American Indians were treated, the Native Americans. Look at that. I mean, the treaties were – not respected. They were kicked off of their land and put into reservations. We had people saying that America was being formed on the principle of freedom, yet there were slaves. We had America formed on the principle of freedom, yet women didn't get the votes and the right to vote, rather, until the 1920s. We had America formed on the principle of freedom, yet the Civil Rights Act was not, the Voting Rights Act was not passed until the 1960s, where they were stopping people from voting. And now we have big measures coming from the Republican Party in general that are trying to require people to have IDs. And so this means that if you don't have the proper type of ID, you're not going to be able to vote. And what that means is that with all these American citizens losing their homes and not having addresses, well, many people are going to be disenfranchised on this election where they're not even going to be able to vote. And so look at the things that are happening. This is not something that is unusual. You know, America has been a pariah. America has taken victims, or made victims, of people in its lower class or poor people for a very long time. America has done dishonorable things to people for a very long time. Not to say that we haven't done good things in this country. Not to say that we don't have good people. There are good Republicans. There are good Democrats. There are people that are good, that are independents. However, what we do have is far too much complacency. What we do have is far too many people not getting involved. What we do have is people not investing their treasure and their time and their effort to really stand up for human rights and social justice. And that's what I do. I put my money where my mouth is, and that's why I do these broadcasts, and this is why I run my television show. I want to encourage all of you to get involved with us as citizen reporters and to begin to cover things with us on internet radio. I encourage you to bring issues that are involving injustice, human rights, and social justice to my attention so that we can cover them as widely as possible in our media network. We're running 9 cable television shows, primarily from the San Diego area, and we do travel throughout the world to cover stories. We recently did some coverage of Occupy Wall Street in Manhattan. We've done documentaries in North Dakota and Alaska, and so we're continuing to try to venture out and cover stories that affect the American people and the world throughout the country and the world. We have just finished a series of interviews with the Fair Trade La Mesa organization, and we're documenting the atrocities that are occurring in Latin America right now, primarily Africa and other poor countries, in which the corporations, they're the pharmaceutical companies, they're actually spraying insecticides on the backs of people as they work in the field. And so now, these people that have had their farms and rancheros destroyed in these other countries are coming to America looking for a better life. They're enlisting in the American military. And we have now the military and the Veterans Affairs Committee and the Department of Veterans Affairs. We have ICE, Homeland Security, actually arresting these American soldiers and sailors and returning them to countries where they face certain death, where they're separated from their benefits, where they're separated from their families. And this is the current tragedy that we're currently examining right now with the Community Coalition Internet Radio Station. We're coming down to our last 36 minutes, sir, and I want to turn this back over to you to share contact information, tell people your name again, and state to them what you want them to know. Give them an action statement, please.
My name is Manuel Valenzuela, and I'm Brothers Valenzuela Facebook, and we got a website, www.valenzuelabrothers.com. And the most important thing to all the people is let's all stand together, because this is not just involved with veterans, it is involved with everybody. And if we throw away our veterans, our liberty and our freedom is in jeopardized. And it's going to affect everybody. And it is doing it right now. So, and banished veterans, we got to get them back, because we leave not one soldier behind. And we got to do it together, because it's the way America was built. It's us being together and fighting what it's right, and we got to get our constitution back. And that department, in this day and time, destroy what we have built, and we have done it. And I'm proud to be one of persons to fight in these wars, to fight to protect this freedom. But let's not let it happen no more. You know, and I hope everybody is in peace tonight. And I give I'm proud to say that I have friends throughout San Diego, like Bertha Gutierrez, and helping us out there. And we went and saw how it is over there. And she's a very activist person and helping the rights for the children and everybody. So let's all stand up. It's not going to hurt, like I always said, to stand up. But it is going to hurt if you just sit down and ignore it. Because it's going to happen to everybody right now. It's getting to that point. Okay, and I want to thank you for letting me be in the show. And my brother couldn't be here. But next time I'll get him so we can talk together. And
well,
thank you very much.
Let's get together. Tonight. Let's get together and plan something this weekend or as soon as next week. I'm here to continue to highlight this. I encourage you also to go on to my Facebook page. You can find me under Walker Davis, and I'm located in Irvine on my Facebook page. I'm also Cali Gentleman, CaliGentleman. And you can go to my website, WalterDavisEnterprises.com, and go to my Blog Talk Radio channel there, the RSS feeder, and you can locate this show, which is called Banished Veterans. And I'm encouraging you to post this interview widely on your Facebook pages and email it to your constituents and to your family so we can build support for these veterans that are facing an injustice that should not go unanswered. I want to thank you very much for joining me, Manuel. I really appreciate your comments and your time here.
I forgot to mention that we do have email. Our email is brothersvalenzuela@gmail.com. Okay?
Okay, very good. Brothersvalenzuela@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. Okay. And thank you very much for this opportunity.
Perfect. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and start closing out. Do we have any of our guests that have any questions or comments? Please go ahead and call in. You have an opportunity right now, 310-861-2349. We also have our chat room open. If any of the people in our chat room would like to ask questions right now, Mr. Valenzuela, this would be a good time to do that before I shut down the broadcast. And if you don't have time now, we will be having the archived version of this radio broadcast up on the Community Coalition e-radio website, and you can continue to leave comments and information. Manuel, I would encourage you to get other veterans to get involved and to come aboard and listen to this radio broadcast and transmit it and paste it on their Facebooks as well. And to come and leave comments and leave their website. The other national organizations concerned with this issue, please direct them to this radio broadcast to put their comments up, sir.
I sure will. Thank you very much for letting me have this opportunity to talk and speak out.
Outstanding. So I'm gonna keep in touch with you. I've got your phone number here as well, you know, because you called into the show. And please feel free to give me a call at any time, especially if you have any major events occurring in Southern California or anywhere else in the world.
We have one coming up, but you know, we're trying to put it up to where we get some funds on our Facebook. I mean, our website. Because we're invited to go to the catwalk in San Francisco. There are four students are going to walk from. They're going to be at Berkeley University, and they're going to speak out, and they want us to be there to speak out to the university or DO Plus to support the Dream Act, because That's like when we were little kids. Well, I was brought into the United States since I was 3 years old. And my mom was born in the United States. I always dreamed of having a beautiful life in America and to build a family and all that. And that was my dream. And now it's being jeopardized. And I can feel for those kids who we want to be there for. It's on March March 10th to 11th and 12th. They want us to go out and speak at the Travis Air Force Base. So we're asking the people to donate, and we're going to have that on the by Monday. We're going to have that on our website, a PayPal page there for the people to donate, so we can make those to help those kids on the DREAM Act. Okay.
Very good. Well, again, keep me appraised of what's going on. And again, I hope I can do an interview and get more of you and your veterans involved. Please get in touch with me and let me know what we can coordinate in terms of developing more coverage for this very fascinating story.
Oh, yes. And is what's so good, is important, too, is they're marching all the way to D.C. And we would like to be right there when they chew up and what D.C. to open the banner for the President of the United States, look at our banner again. So we're not stopping until we get all our banners back home. Because this what's happening to all the people right now, if us veterans are being thrown away, that's how come it's happening. We have to stand together.
Now, is there a secure means that people can make donations on your website? Do you have a PayPal or Amazon button that people can
Right, I'm going to have a PayPal by... this Monday coming up, we're going to have a PayPal put up on our website, okay? Right now, we have another thing on PayPal is for, but we're going to change that for this trip to going up to San Francisco. So we opened up a nonprofit organization to help us, help all the people and the veterans too. We want to go to San Diego and on that side to get a motel for the banished veterans to help them for what to live there. They're living on the streets. Get a place where they can be together to support each other and get them some help with counselors and everything. Okay?
I understand. Well, again, thank you very much for your time and for putting the information out. We've had a number of people listening, and people are making comments on Facebook right now, so people are absorbing your information. I want to thank everyone that has joined us for the show this evening. And with that, this is Walter Davis with the Community Coalition, e-radio broadcast, title being Banished Veterans. Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay. Thank you very much, and I'll be... I'll be calling up pretty soon on this. Email me when you're going to have the next program, okay?
I will do just that, and thank you very much.
And
sir,
give me a call. My phones are open at all times for anybody to call me, too. So it's...
You want to give me your number?
Information. Yes, it's 719-282-5314. Person can call me anytime.
719-282-5314 is the number you can call to get in touch with Manuel Valenzuela. Mm-hmm. And you're very courageous, and I'm here to support you 100%, sir.
Well, it's the only way to live is to live right and stand what you are. You know, I will not ever crawl to a hole. I'm going to stand. And people are going to know that it ain't going to hurt, because that's my life. As a Marine, I'm not going to back down. I will stand.
I understand. And we appreciate you and your service. And I want to thank everyone who's listening to this right now. This is Walter Davis with the Community Coalition e-radio station. We're signing off right now. Thank you for your attention.